Spencer Owen, aka Spencer FC, YouTuber and founder slash chairman of Hashtag United. 2 million YouTube subscribers, Sunday Times bestseller, three-time Wembley Cup winner, Eastern Counties Division 1 champion. He's got more silverware in recent years than his beloved West Ham. And of course, author. But let's see what the book club thought in today's The Football Book Club.
First time you find out who we are, you're like, what the hell is that? What is that name? That's the point.
That is such a cool reason to do Duolingo. Like, oh yeah, I have to talk to Cesar Azpilicueta.
Marlon Harewood is ringing me at like 3 p.m. and it was trying to get a free copy of FIFA. But I don't have any Marlon.
This dramatic reading is called Spencer Gets Stared At by Vincent Kompany. Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read yet another footballer's autobiography. Less Arthur Conan Doyle, more Kevin Doyle. I'm James Berg, and over the weeks we'll be reading classics such as John Gregory's The Boss and Alan Smith's Heads Up. But today we're reading Spencer Owen's 2017 book Game Changer, and reading it with me, Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
James Balgen.
Hello.
And welcome to the show, Spencer Owen.
Hello.
Yes, Spencer. Woo! Great to have you with us. How you doing?
Yeah, really good, guys. I've seemed to have got away with this, and technically I'm a footballer now. This footballer's books. I mean, I do
You're
play
officially
football.
A footballer.
I haven't played at the level that your normal book writers have, but I'll take it.
As long as you play to a higher level than us, which isn't hard, you're a footballer, very
I
much.
I feel so. Like that's widening the podcast out more than we need it to go.
Yeah.
That's basically that's all true. Books, I would say.
All people.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling's coming on next week. Yeah. But we really enjoyed your book, Spencer.
Thank you.
Really, really enjoyed it. It's different to a lot of the books we normally do, as we kind of just touched upon. But that's why it was so interesting. Are you a fan of football books in general, Spencer?
Love them. Absolutely love them. I'm doing a one-in-one-out policy at the moment. So I'll read a football book and then I'll read a non-football book.
Nice.
And I go back and go back. But it's like, yeah, it's a massive section of what I read. And I mean, there's been some great ones. There's been some not so great ones. I think with regards to mine, it's obviously, I wouldn't even call it an autobiography. I'm far too young to have an autobiography. And that's one of the things that annoys me when a footballer like releases a book at like 25. You're like, what have you done?
Memphis Depay.
Yeah, last week you read Memphis Depay's. He was 24 when he wrote it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame them. I don't blame them because I understand how it works. But for me, it was probably more of a sort of how I got in the situation I was as opposed to my life. But yeah, no, I mean, I think a good football book is the best book you can read for me. I love
it. Yeah, I'd agree with that. What was the last one you had in your rota?
Last one I read was a biography of Pep Guardiola.
Okay.
And then before that, I was Mourinho. I was on the managers for a bit. And then, but I've read a lot of I also really enjoy books like Soconomics. Have you read that?
No, is it a bit like Freakonomics kind of thing?
Yeah, basically okay. Freakonomics for football.
Okay.
The money in football.
You're also worryingly more well-read football-wise than we are.
Yeah. What are we bringing to the table here, guys?
We offer literally nothing here. We're going to go into more depth about the book. We'll be talking to Spencer about his career and, of course, about Hashtag United. We'll be doing a dramatic reading, playing some games. But first, Spencer, do you mind if we see what Amazon's saying? We do this with everyone.
Yeah, please do.
The book has 4.7 stars from 74 reviews. That's good.
Is that out of five?
It is out of five, yeah.
Oh, yes. I was worried then.
Yeah.
It's out of 100. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It's including this five-star review from Aaron in Canada titled Spen equals Legend. And the review is Legend. That's the whole review.
Short but
cryptic.
Sweet.
There's also a four-star review under the title, actually quite interesting, which that's a
it's just like
loaded.
It's like a compliment and an insult.
Yeah.
At the same time. I'll take it.
Not, sure. I know what you're thinking, but it was good.
Yeah. And then there's this final one. I've got fans in Spain, a five-star one, which says, this is, I can't speak Spanish, fue un regalo que arrancó una sonrisa, which, bear in mind, it's a five-star review.
So it's a gift. Regalo means gift, I think.
Yep. Someone's been doing their Duolingo.
I have.
Nice. We got all use our lockdown somehow. According to Amazon Translate, that means it was a gift that ripped off a smile. And I think that's a good thing. It doesn't sound like a good thing, but if it's five stars, it must be. So there you go. Game changer will rip off your smile.
A gift that ripped off a smile?
Yeah, that sounds very
menacing. Horrifying.
If a Spanish person heard, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, they'd be like, what?
So, true.
That's true.
Something.
How do you say book in Spanish?
Libro.
Okay, our friends on the Football Libro Club are probably very confused by all the reviews on here. Have you generally been doing Spanish during
I've generally been doing Duolingo.
Nice.
I always wanted to learn Spanish. I think it's, if you're a football fan, it's probably the next best language to know.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's many, but we may get onto this, but I think since the book's been written, one of our sort of investors and co-directors of Hashtag is Azpilicueta. And so I thought,
yes,
I need to try and learn some Spanish.
It's for Cesar Azpilicueta?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not conversational. I'm not going to be like, hola, and it's English.
Okay.
That is such a cool reason to do Duolingo.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just doing it because I'm bored. And you're like,
no, that's the same reason I'm learning French. Just in case I bump into Pogba at some point, I'm just ready. Same reason.
Very, very, very smart. Wow. We were going to ask you about Azpilicueta later, but let's talk about it now. How did it come about, him getting involved in Hashtag?
So it was about 2 years ago, and he's quite known and interested in the esports scene, which is a whole different side of Hashtag, which is the sort of competitive gaming and yep. FIFA. And so he would be at a lot of the events, and one of my other jobs is I present a lot of the events. So I was at an event called the eWorld Cup, which is like the big finale event of the year in FIFA. And he was there as a special guest, and we got speaking. And this was kind of when the FIFA scene was getting to be more competitive and a bit more professional. Yep. And a lot of guys, pro footballers and stuff, were getting into it. So Gareth Bale's got a team, Ruud Gullit's got a team, Mesut Ozil's got a team, there's loads of them. And he was looking at doing that as well. But then he met me and he knew a little bit about Hashtag. And he basically said, rather than start my own, can I get involved in what you're doing? And I was like, yes, please. It's one of them where it's like the only other people involved in kind of like the owners of the club, if you like, is me, my missus and my brother. And the next person is Cesar Azpilicueta. He's just so
right,
random.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's been great, man. He's really, really supportive.
That's some Christmas party. That's going to be some Christmas party. Yeah.
Does he have any interest in getting behind podcasts just because?
Who knows? I don't know if he's into the podcast scene.
The e-podcasting scene.
I have to get really good at Duolingo. Oh, God.
But that's super fascinating. I read that he called you at halftime during your first round FA Cup match, which is, it must still feel like a bit of a dream when you get a phone call and it's Cesar on the phone.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's just one of those things where this is nowhere near the same name, but if you're a West Ham fan, I was in the office the other day and I was talking to someone and my phone was ringing and I pulled it out and it just said Marlon Harewood ringing. And I was like, what life am I living when Marlon Harewood is ringing me at like 3 p.m. And it was trying to get a free copy of FIFA. I think he thinks I work for FIFA. I was like, I don't have any Marlon. That was just crazy, you know, it's just weird.
That's generally why Marlon Harewood called you, to try and get FIFA.
People think that I am like Mr. FIFA because I obviously present a lot of the stuff. But I don't have like copies of the game just sitting around the house to give out to people. If I did, Marlon would have had one.
Let me just scratch out my next question. Can you get me a copy of FIFA? That is gone. So, Game Changer. You wrote it in 2017. I think I'm right in saying.
Yep.
For people who don't know your story necessarily, it's the story of how you went from playing computer games to owning your own football club, Hashtag United, playing at Wembley along the way. How did the book come about?
Book came about from the Ebury Press publishers just contacted my brother who works with me, and just sort of basically we kind of tried to turn the thing on its head a little bit, but ultimately a lot of YouTube people get approached to do books. There's no way around that. We actually promoted the series by doing a YouTube series called Not Another YouTube Book, and we made a joke out of how in many cases a lot of these sort of books are aimed very young and are almost like, you know, glorify colouring in books, you know, and that's not me throwing anyone under the bus, it's just kind of what they do with a lot of them. And whilst there is a lot of young people that do watch our stuff and we didn't want to close the door to that, I was not interested in that personally, doing that sort of thing. So we sort of said to them early doors, you know, if I'm going to do it, I want to be able to basically say whatever I want. I don't want you saying this is what this chapter's got to be about and this got to be about. So and I thought they'd say no when I said that, but they didn't. They said, yeah. And I'll be honest, I had some help with it because I wanted to write it all myself. I did English literature at university. I thought I was one of those guys that thought I probably would, if I got successful in any way, would love to write something one day.
Okay, so you had imagined writing a book at some point anyway.
Yeah, not necessarily about myself or not necessarily autobiographical, but...
Interesting.
So I also said one of the prerequisites when they approached me is I have to do it myself. I don't want someone else to do it. They were also fine with that. And then we got about 6 months down the line, I'd done about 3 pages because I'm fairly busy, but this particularly was at a point in my life where I didn't have the staff around me that I do now. So okay. I was doing almost everything myself, and it was just a non-starter. So I had to put my hand up and say to them, if you want this book, you know, before 2030, we need to find a different way to do it. So I did get some help with it.
Okay.
Or you could have stopped doing Duolingo for a bit and you would have got it.
Yeah. But how are we talking to Caesar? What, come on.
Was it Caesar's Pelequeta who helped you write the book?
No, he did the Spanish version.
Okay, sure. Makes sense.
And basically, I assume this is how a lot of other people do some books like this, but it was like therapy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and he asked me questions, and I tried to do a lot of it like, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, but a lot of the book is almost like it's been spoken, because I said to him, look, just take this whole rant I'm about to go on and put it in there and just clean it up. So, and then at the end, we had loads of different reviews, and then I actually did go back and edit a lot of it myself. So I did end up spending a large section of it, but it wouldn't have happened without Steve.
Sure, he's the kind
of... He did all the hard work.
Yeah. Right, he prompted you along with it.
That's really interesting. Kind of going.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any, not that you feel any, but I don't think there's any shame with that. I think most footballers we've spoken to, everyone has worked with someone doing it. And I think you can tell the ones where they get more involved and the ones when they don't. And your book definitely came across like they did.
Yeah, I think, so like when I read Zlatan's book, you just know that there's words in that. I mean, Zlatan's book is like spoken word in an extent. Some of the stuff he says, like he starts off by slagging off Pep Guardiola like minute one. And you're
same as your book.
This is it. So I think I was probably a bit concerned about it at first when the book came out, purely because I didn't want it to look like someone had gone, Spence, do a book, and I'd gone, sweet, give me some money, you write it, and I'll just tick it at the end.
Yeah.
It very much wasn't like that. But sure. I think it was probably purely just the fact that I studied English that I thought I was a bit embarrassed. Like, I should have done this myself. But obviously, Steve is much better than me anyway, so it's fine.
Also, you've got like about a million different things going on in your life. You're like, you've got so much stuff going on. I couldn't
forget Steve.
Steve's got nothing going on.
Yeah.
I think with my first concern with it was also this world is so weird. Like, if you don't know it, or you don't watch YouTube videos, you don't like, aren't even necessarily of a certain age. And Steve's about 10 years older than me, maybe.
Okay.
But credit to him, like, he threw himself in.
Yeah, and to be honest, he does it in a way where, because I'll be honest, I know your videos, I know some YouTube, but I'm not, you know, incredibly well-versed in it. Whereas after reading it, I felt like I knew a lot of it, and there weren't bits where I was like, what on earth does that mean? I kind of could understand the flow of the whole thing, which was good.
But that's a real skill of the book, that it's able to talk to two different audiences at the same time.
Definitely,
like,
yeah.
Being able to talk to the young, like, people who are... The young people, God, I'm like 50. the people who are, you know, who really know about this stuff, and the people who are like me, being like, what is a computer? So it's great. It's really good.
I agree. And do you think you might write a fiction book at some point?
When I was much younger, when I was like 14, 15, I used to write little like science fiction stuff and nothing to do with football. Yeah, just little like almost Harry Potter type.
Okay.
Not quite the same success or level, but just my little notepad. I don't know, to be honest. You have all these things you think about when you're like, when I was younger, I had no ambition to work in football at all. Mm-hmm. I definitely mentioned that in the book. I mentioned how I didn't like football until I was about 12 or 13. And then it went the opposite way. It just became like my whole life. And when my career has become so football focused and stuff, that you don't have to, but there's other kind of aspirations are sort of sidelined, because I want to focus on the thing that actually is what I'm doing.
But you're not ruling it out one day, though, that sci-fi series, maybe?
Who knows?
Yeah. Let's stay on young Spencer. You mentioned you didn't like football when you were younger. So what got you into football for the first time?
Well, I think it really was computer games, to be honest.
I think
it was playing FIFA 98 with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So that was when I was about 10. So I started to just get into it.
Great game.
They had the indoor
exactly.
pitch, five-a-side.
Yep. God, that. Oh, you're playing it. You could do the road to the World Cup. And it was...
Yeah, that was it.
Was that the Blur one? Blur song two.
Yeah, song two.
Brilliant.
Oh, God, I remember that. So good. And God, I hate playing on the mouse.
Struggles, mate. Struggles.
Terrible. Why would that be a thing?
It's invented for older brothers.
So you can
win the keyboard. You can't win. You're just going like this.
What's going on?
But it got you into it somehow.
Yeah, totally.
That torture.
Probably the competitiveness. I'm very competitive. I'm one of three brothers, and I think we grew up like that. And I think probably what's my older brother was always football mad, had been since a young age. That might have even been why I didn't like football, to be honest. Subconsciously, I was probably trying to rebel against that.
Sure.
But eventually, yeah, that was that. And then it was Football Manager, or Championship Manager, it was then known.
Mm-hmm.
Was addicted to that from about 13, 14.
Who wasn't? Yeah.
Exactly, mate. I mean, that's why it's so crazy that they are the sponsors of our football show now, hashtag United. It's just
so mad.
It is amazing. That and also, another incredibly cool thing, which you mentioned in the book, you and some other members of hashtag United were regens in Football Manager 2017, I think you said?
Yeah, that was actually before they were our sponsors. It was just a sort of, we actually played the Sports Interactive football team.
Yes.
And then as part of that, we used to do rewards. So if we won the game, we'd won the football match, we'd go in the game.
That was it,
sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've done loads of stuff with them since then, though. Like, I mean, you can actually, they actually had a playable, a hashtag demo of Football Manager 19, was you could play as our whole league. So you put every single team and every player from our league, the Eastern Senior League. So not just hashtag, every player went in the league, which is four levels lower than where the game actually goes to the National League.
Yes.
And you could play a whole demo season as hashtag for free. They gave it away for free.
Wow.
And the idea would be if they liked that, they'd get the full game. So that was sweet.
That's really cool. Were you in that game as well?
Yeah, they put me in as a player, even though by the time we went into non-league, I was really sort of like just the chairman.
Sure.
But I actually went down to Watford and did a training session with Watford, so they could get my stats actually based on my actual performance.
God, that sounds so upsetting.
Little vest things.
I had it all on. And bear in mind that I'm 32 now, so I must have been about 29, 30 when I went down then. I had been training with the under 23s. So I was training with some of them are playing in the Prem now. Some of them have dropped down a few levels.
Uh-huh.
They're obviously just running rings around me, right? And I'm like, I got good review. I had it was Hayden Mullins taking the session.
Oh, cool.
Okay, yeah, who managed them briefly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they gave me very good marks for anything like to do with mental. So like, I was communicating very well.
Good.
You know, leadership, all these sorts of things.
Determination.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we don't talk about what the other marks were. Yeah. You know? They're just sort of not near 20, let's put it that way.
The kind of marks you never search for when you're actually looking for a great player.
Yeah. Was there one in particular you thought was a bit cruel?
Oh, none of them were cruel. They were all.
Let's
be honest. Like, as a my peak of football was university or hashtag really.
And what's your greatest ever Football Manager achievement?
Well, all through lockdown. So you know, you can get people that edit the database.
Uh-huh.
Someone actually created our whole league, but not as a separate demo, as part of the game. So I actually started with hashtag in lockdown in our actual league, and I just won the Champions League with them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And 15 seasons it took me, which is
that's
four
quick.
Quicker than, yeah.
And
no takeover. Financial takeover.
This is what impresses me about you. So you've not only been YouTubing, you've been learning Spanish and getting hashtag United promoted in a game as well as in real life.
To be fair, that's work, though. You have to understand. I streamed that whole thing.
True.
That was all on Twitch.
Of course,
that's on YouTube.
True.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
And you're not streaming the Duolingo episode.
I thought about it. Yeah,
you could. You really could.
I actually thought, would people want to watch an absolute novice painfully try and learn Spanish so they could learn with me?
But that's the fun. Surely, like, you could do it like Road to Glory. You could be like, oh, I've got to get like full marks on this one, and the chairman will give me.
Otherwise, I have to learn Portuguese.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Copyrighted.
Yeah.
Good.
I really like reading a lot of the stuff from the early stages because. It's no secret to anyone who listens to the show that I am biased to anything to do with Essex. Not many books I read, the character starts off with basically exactly the same journey as I have. You went to the same school as me, you know, you talk about like, the same places. You talk about Happel Peveril, railway station, it's down the road, stinks of milk. I always
factory next to it. Yeah.
It does stink.
Where one of the players that's mentioned regularly in the book, Faisal Manjdog Manji, literally grew up next to that... That milk place, and he went to Kegs as well.
This is the nichest podcast.
Jack, none of this bit is going in.
Can we go in a separate room and just chat about other things?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I've got more Essex questions.
Yeah.
He did this with Perry Groves, genuinely.
So Perry Groves, also from Essex, and we had a lovely chat about John Lewis and how he goes to the new Everyman cinema.
I go there. It's great.
But for people who don't know Kegs, it's a very traditional grammar school in many ways, built in the 1500s. You've got school uniform. A lot of people who go there, you know, MPs or tend to go into your traditional jobs like banking and stuff like that. And being a YouTuber, it's very different to what a lot of people do there. Have you been back to the school or anything since? And
it's actually quite funny. So a lad who watched my videos, anyway, yes, he approached me 3 or 4 years ago with an email and said, I'm the current head boy at Kegs. He was the current head boy at the time. And he said, we love what you do. Would you be prepared to come and do a talk to sixth form about different options, you know, after uni and how it doesn't have to be following the status quo and all that? And I was like, oh, mate, I'd love to. You know, first of all, it's kind of like everyone wants to do that if they can, don't they? Go back to their school and do that. And I was like, yeah, sweet, tell me when. I then got an email from him, like, apologetically a few weeks later saying, I'm really sorry. I had a meeting with the head of sixth form about it. And she said, I remember, Spencer, but I don't think we should celebrate anyone who's made a career from playing computer games at school.
Bad. Doesn't surprise me about Kegs, though.
That's shame, isn't it?
That's a real shame.
Because anyone that knows me knows I wouldn't have said a single thing about computer games. Like, it's not about what it's about. It's about the mentality, right?
Definitely.
Not having to do it the way that your dad did it or anyone else did it and just reinventing your route.
Yeah.
And so I think it would have been a nice little talk, but they won't have me back.
They haven't. Oh. If it makes you feel any better, they haven't asked me back either. So yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'll be there one day. Miss can't last forever.
The tyrannous reign of Miss.
Yeah, we're bringing Spencer back.
She was always very nice to me, to be honest.
No, I liked her. That's what hurt more, James. I liked
really?
Her too.
Yeah,
I liked her too.
That but I mean, you do talk about this in the book. This idea of, like, you know, because your dad talks about, like, saying, oh, what, you know, if you play snooker your whole life, you know, that's a more useful thing than playing computer games. But we are sort of now moving to the realm where you can make a career. You can actually make a career out of playing computer games, not just what you do, but, you know, esports, and the money that's being talked about is crazy. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I've employed many of them. Like, hashtag, we've had pro FIFA players for years. You know, at one point we had 4 different guys all earning enough money to live to play FIFA, and that's just as a salary. That's not including, you know, prize money you get, which is sometimes in the hundreds of thousands of pounds, and that's FIFA. So, in fact, someone from Brentwood won one of the Fortnite events last year. He won like $10 million, a guy from Brentwood, playing Fortnite. But so it's a real thing.
It's that thing where you're like, well, surely you have to then tell people about it and say, well, yeah, it is a viable career opportunity. Mm-hmm. If you can do it, then, you know, then do it.
I mean, it's a tricky one. I've got a baby on the way, and I think of a lot about... Thank you, mate. Yeah, it's in a couple of months. And I think a lot about, you know, how much do I want them to sort of see, to take from my route in? Like, I don't want a kid playing computer games all day. Like, all day. Do you know what I mean? I love computer games. I'm specifically a football gamer. Like, I think that's one thing that people get the wrong impression of me. They think I play FIFA and Football Manager. I don't play
The other ones are a waste of time.
Yeah. I mean, I played Mario Kart and all that for fun, but I'm not sitting there like... Certainly not anymore, playing for fun, and now it's always for work anyway. But I think they're amazing. I think you can learn a lot from them. I think if you're into a sport, it doesn't have to be a sport, but into a thing, it's a great way of extending that, you know, experience when you can't, for example, play football outside, or you haven't got 20 mates to organise an 11-a-side game. Mm-hmm, you can keep doing it. And I learned so much about football from football. People don't understand. Like, yeah. I mean, Sky Sports News use Football Manager as a tool for finding
football
players.
Yeah.
Like, it's an incredible resource. So I think it's got a bad rep. And I think the world's going that way, man. It's only a matter of time before we're all plugged in. And it's like, what's that film?
Is this your sci-fi novel you're pitching to us?
It's written, though, isn't it? Ready Player One.
Ready Player One. Yes.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Oh, imagine a version of Ready Player One that was just Football Manager.
I'd love that.
You just like you just like sort of like interact with like
his
Freddy
Adu. His Freddy Adu flying by.
That'd be amazing. Okay, we're making that.
There you go.
Spencer, you also like Prevo?
Yeah, I mean, that was the game. So it started off with FIFA with 98, but then for probably about 7 or 8 years spell, it was all about Prevo.
Yeah,
when it all went online properly. FIFA just smashed
took
it.
Off. Yeah, sure.
Great. Great game.
Adriano.
Oh,
yeah, half their names were wrong, weren't they? So it was like Roberto Larcos.
Well, you've moved on very well to our game we're going to play with you called Impesta Syndrome. Get it? Kind of imposter? Anyway. Okay, sure. Those who aren't watching on video, Spencer's laughing loads. I'm going to list some PES players and clubs, their names on Pro Evolution Soccer. You have to tell me who they are in real life. You feeling confident?
I think I've got a good chance.
Okay, start off with an easy one. Number one, Neil Lennon.
Neil Lennon.
It's correct. That wasn't very imaginative, that one. Number two, Trad Bricks.
Is this a player or
it's a team? It's a team. Trad Bricks. There's some hard ones in here.
These are hard, man. I think it's like the same amount of syllables as the actual team, or is it?
Very big British club, not English club.
Trad Bricks. For some reason, no, it can't be them. It won't be them.
Who? Who? Who are you thinking?
No, I don't know. It's just definitely wrong. I was going to say Man United because of
it's correct.
It's correct.
He's got it.
Trad Bricks.
Yeah, I don't know why. The next one, if you get this, you're a genius. Dublin. It's a team name.
So I'm guessing it's in Dublin. It's one of the...
No? Very much not.
They've got another team called Dublin that's not in Dublin. It's spelled the same.
Yep, spelled like the capital of Ireland, but not an Irish team. They're an English team.
English, not Scottish.
Nope.
Well, Aston Villa.
It's correct.
D.R. Dublin, isn't it?
I think that's a
That must
good,
be the reason.
I think that must be the logic. That's amazing. Very well worked out.
Got muscle memory going on here.
Yeah, I think it's so good. Number five, Michael Kruger. This is a footballer.
What era is this?
I'm not sure what year. Is that PES 2? So this is a European footballer from one of the big European nations. Played for Chelsea. Leverkusen.
Oh yeah,
it's not Reisinger.
Nope.
Balak.
Kruger sounds like a good old German name, doesn't it?
It does. Freddy Krueger was famous.
Great centre mid, Freddy Krueger.
And last two, Lake District. This is a tough one, but
it's a team again. Yeah,
team very close to your heart.
Can't be West Ham.
West Ham, but
why are they called Lake District?
What year was
this? A lazy year.
In PES 2, I think, or PES 1. And finally, Ryan Greggs. Who is that?
Yeah, it's got to be Giggsy, isn't it?
Is Giggsy the correct answer.
The teams were normally better than that. It was normally like North London Red, wasn't it? It was like Arsenal.
Yeah, that's Arsenal.
Red and, yeah. And Bolton were called something really odd at one point. I can't remember what that was.
Bolton were called Middlebrook.
Very
that makes sense if it's Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Why? For Bolton. I reckon they just put him in a randomizer. They just put in these names.
I think you're right. But you got 5 out of 7. That's pretty good.
I'll take it.
You're the first, no one's ever done it before, but you're now on the leaderboard for Impesta Syndrome. Undefeated.
Yes.
Spencer, another thing you did, which I didn't know about at all, you're a stand-up, briefly.
Yeah, well, if you're doing stand-up, I guess you're a stand-up, aren't you? Like, by definition, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, to be fair, I did it for like 3 years.
Oh, is it that long? You got paid for your first ever gig. You got paid 100 quid.
That story is mental. Like, no one believes me.
Unbelievable.
I was on for like half an hour, mate. It was like a half an hour set.
That story makes my palms like sweat.
Yeah,
the idea of never doing a stand-up show before and someone going, yeah, I'll pay you 100 quid and it's a 30-minute set. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, no. Because I've been in some, bad stand-up things and I've done terrible stand-up gigs before. The idea of doing it for 30 minutes as my first time would be horrifying.
I didn't know any different, really.
Sure.
But also, someone had said to me, fake it till you make it or whatever, in terms of trying to get gigs. So I probably just lied on a few things I'd answered and just said, yeah, I've done loads of gigs, mate. Don't worry about that.
Nice.
And I got really lucky because it was the worst gig ever. It was above like a strip club or something. And there was maybe 15 or 20 people there. They were all drunk out of their heads. The other acts were all awful. So basically what happened was the guy who actually put on the event didn't know what he was doing, the promoter.
Okay.
Hence why he booked a guy who'd never done a gig before and paid him money. So it tells you everything you need to know.
Then
everyone else was awful as well. And I was probably very awful. My mate was there to watch it. And like I said, I did like more than half an hour's worth of stuff. And 28 minutes of that, never saw the light of day ever again.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Wow. Mental. Yeah, tough. Yeah, and what's happened? What's happened with the other 2 minutes? Have you used any of that in your
gold?
In your...
Absolutely gold, mate.
Is it gold? Okay, cool. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, like after that, then probably like 50 of my next 60 gigs were 2 minute gigs or 5 minute gigs.
Makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it was much more normal, and then I would just hone that a little bit and try to. And I did have some really good gigs. I went to Edinburgh a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I had this period. I had a very sort of set 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes maybe. And I'd go one night and I'd kill it. And I'd do the exact same thing to a different crowd and it would bomb. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, I don't. And I realized I had an audience. The way I did it was very anecdotal. It wasn't like punchlines. And if it was people around my age and like university age, I did really well.
Sure.
If I ended up in some London comedy club with a slightly older crowd, I'd just bomb. And I hated that kind of unknowing. Yeah. And then I hated the traveling. I think I said in the book about when I made a YouTube video, just realized it was different.
Is this where kind of your, so obviously you start your videos with, all right, mate, how you doing? You're very conscious about that. And how you say in the book a lot, how you want to be the viewer's friend. Is that something which attracted you more to YouTube than stand-up necessarily, because you found it something easier to kind of make that connection with an audience?
I don't think I knew that going in. I think I definitely have learned that. Mm-hmm. I think because I was doing random YouTube videos all through uni, like nothing to do with football, comedy sketches and stuff, many of which were terrible, most of which are deleted now. And I did a T4. You remember T4?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Steve Jones and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So I entered some competition when I was at uni to be the next presenter for it. And I got to the final. And at the final, I actually hated it, by the way. Like, I don't think T4 exists anymore. But at the time, I realized going in, this was like not what's for me. It's like a T4 people are like models that speak. Like, they don't really, it's classic presentering in the sense that, and don't get me wrong, there's some great guys that come out of T4. Like Simon Amstel, I think, did T4, and that's some great talent. Yep. But a lot of presenting in general is you're just reading a script and you're not yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like that. And they asked me some questions and I found it really, like, what's your style, man? What's your style? Like, I was like, probably wearing some like wolf jumper or something. I was like, I don't know.
I'm a wolf man. Obviously.
I'm your man. So they, but I got some good advice. The reason I tell that story is a lady there, or producer there, said to me, talk to the camera like it's your friend. Forget it's a lens and imagine it is the eyes of your friend.
Yep.
So then when I started doing YouTube and I wanted to have like an opening thing, I just thought, I'm literally going to say what I would say to my mate. And I was like, all right, mate, how you doing? That's probably what I said to you guys when we started this call. I can't remember.
I think it is.
Instinctive.
It
felt like I was in a video.
That's good advice, I think. And people ask me now about YouTube and stuff. I just say, because I see people, in life, they talk unbelievably confidently. And as soon as you put a camera in front of them, they're like, hi, welcome to the... And I'm saying, just, you're not looking at a camera. It's your mate.
You almost said, welcome to the Football Book Club just then. Was that an impression of me?
No.
Hi, welcome to the...
I'm James Bond.
Another incredible job you did before you kind of took off on YouTube was you worked with Vincent Kompany.
Yes.
Doing his social media for pretty much a whole season.
Yeah, the season, the 11-12.
Yeah.
Season.
And on that note, guys, who's ready for this week's dramatic reading?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
This dramatic reading is called Spencer Gets Stared At by Vincent Kompany. I got a phone call from Big Balls saying that Vincent Kompany, the Manchester City and Belgian captain, had been in touch because he was looking for a social media guy and they thought I could be it. Big Balls. Is Big Balls, someone's nickname?
No, it's the name of a production company.
Ah, okay. I did think, Big Balls, this is probably too early in your relationship with Vincent Kompany to be calling him that. But
Haven't seen him, so I assume they're big, but I haven't seen him.
How long did you work with him? Anyway,
not long enough.
Yeah. Sure, I might have quit my last job because I had enough of doing social media for someone else, but this was the sickest version of that job. Good money for not even full-time hours and a seat in Vincent's box for every home game at the Etihad. That's not bad. Vincent was clearly a very switched on businessman as well as a great player, and I told him about all the exciting things I thought we could do to give him a real social media presence. I told him how much I looked up to him, how I was a defender too, and in the end I just came out with, come on, let's do this. Yeah, cool, he said. I just need to look you in the eye and make sure I can trust you. Here we go. We quit the call. I got the camera.
Wait, very quickly, when he said that, what did you do? Did you kind of go like, yes, okay.
Yeah, or did you go, ha ha ha, yeah, good one, Vincent. Yeah.
He might have dramatized the wording a little bit, but he said something like, just get the video on and then we're fine, or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, it was a bit surreal afterwards. And I just realised he literally, once he got the video, and just sort of went...
Is that exactly how it was? So Spencer has come really close to the screen and just staring at us. Is that really how close he was?
Kind of, yeah.
Wow.
He made some sort of joke about what I was probably wearing something very similar, like some sort of checkered shirt or something. And I think he just wanted to get a sense of who I was. Not in like a... I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to know who you're working with. Do you know what I mean? Sure. Wanting to see him. I had never met him in person at that point.
Yep.
So he just wanted to see who he was talking to, really. Honestly, the camera came on. He just sort of went... And he went, yeah, cool, you'll do.
And that was the end of it. And that was so the time weird. You got stared at by Vincent Kompany.
Funnily enough, like very similar, but also dissimilar to the T4 situation. Whereas T4 yes. were like asking me what I was going to wear and all this, like it mattered. Whereas mm. Vincent was like, yeah, you can get away with that.
Sure.
Was he like, is that a picture of a wolf on
your
shirt?
Yeah, yeah. I need more wolves.
I never wore the wolf jumper again.
You're very complimentary of Vincent throughout. You said he could be Prime Minister of Belgium in your book.
I reckon he still could be.
I've heard him speak. He's a very smart guy. He's very switched on.
Very smart. Very just different cloth. Cut from a different cloth to a lot of the other. I mean, I'm lucky enough to know a lot of footballers, work for a lot of footballers, and a lot of them are good friends of mine. Nothing yep. against. But generally, he's different to most of them in just the way he thinks.
How so?
And just loads of things. Like, I don't know. So first of all, a lot of people don't know this, but Man United tried to buy him when he was 18,
mm-hmm.
and he turned it down because Ferguson wouldn't let him finish his degree. He was doing a degree in Anderlecht.
Right.
And he right. said, I will only come if you let me finish my degree. And Fergie said, if you're going to play for Man United, you're a footballer. And at 18, Kompany said, no, you're right, I'll leave it because I want to do a degree. When he was at Man City, at about 26, 27, he was doing an MBA at Manchester Business School. He was going and sitting in seminars with 21, 22-year-old kids as Vincent Kompany and making his notes like, just no need to do it. The guy's got all the money he needs and he's going to be able to do anything in business. He just wanted to learn that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
When he did the deal to go to City at like mid-20s, he negotiated a thing. He was going to create a company, it didn't exist at this point, that was going to get the license to be the chauffeur of all the footballers at Man City or something. He just created this business and just went, yeah, when I come here, I want to part of my deal, I want to have the rights to any cars you guys need at Man City going anywhere, my company provides them. And they were like, yeah, you can do that. And he just made the company up after that. So he had that gig and then created a whole like chauffeur, like driving company off the back of that.
This is like Del Boy.
But like, incredibly, this is a very comprehensive answer to like how he's different. He does sound extremely different. I can't imagine.
Well, he sounds different. Who else starts a taxi company for the teammates? What's going on? No.
That's incredible.
And you just one. And he didn't call it company car.
Oh.
He didn't call it company car. What an error!
That's why he's not going to make it. That's why he's not going to make it. Yeah. He hasn't got. Not quite there. Almost. You stay around his house a lot though, and stuff. You said.
I did. I've been to his house multiple times. I stayed in Patrick Vieira's house.
Okay.
I actually cool. took a poo in Patrick Vieira's toilet, which is nice. Should be on my Twitter bio, really.
Nice toilet.
Lovely. Yeah.
You'd expect decent. That. You'd expect that, Vieira.
Bizarre. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Toilet was disgusting. Just a mess. It was a mess.
Just a portaloo out back, yeah. Yeah.
The rest of his house is incredible, but he just doesn't spend the money on the toilet. Really weird.
That would be gossip, wouldn't it?
That would be, yeah.
So all very, very lucky, very no bad experiences whatsoever. Like I'd be the first to tell you if I did, to be honest. Like, and I didn't.
Sure.
They were all lovely. Had a little unofficial race on a motorway with Balotelli.
Right. You wrote about that in the book. So that's basically you saw each other.
I had to be quite careful with how I worded that in the book because I know what happened.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I can put in the book. Basically, what I can say is I was in a car
uh-huh.
with Vincent Kompany, and the car next to me had Balotelli, I think it was Nasri, I can't remember, it was another City player,
yeah.
and we were driving at similar speeds on the same road.
Okay, that's good. We'll let the listeners use their imagination with that one. Yeah. I'm guessing it wasn't like 25 miles an hour.
That would be
faster than 25.
Okay, cool. And that's
do you know what, I love about this company stuff when I was reading it was... I had like a very similar experience to you, but a real like Z-list version of it. So a few years ago, I just finished working on a football documentary at the time. And I saw an advert for a Middlesbrough player looking for a social media person. The same role pretty much. And it ended up being, I can say this, it's fine, but it ended up being Martin Braithwaite. Who's now at Barcelona.
He's gone to Barcelona. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
What could it have been?
Yeah.
So I did a few days with him and it went really well. And they said, yeah, we want to give you the role. And then not long after that, he moved to, I think it was Leganés or somewhere. He went to Spain. And yeah. It really made me laugh reading this bit when you were describing this, because you were like, this is a really good job and everyone's telling me I should keep it. I'm going to walk away because my heart's not in it. I was in the same position. I was like, please take me to Spain with you, please.
And then, take me to Spain, Martin Braithwaite.
And then he
please.
Went to Leganés. And then like 1 or 2 years later, he went to Barcelona. And I was like, oh my God, Jesus.
What could have been? What could
that
have been
you.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, it's so... Yeah, I can't believe you're still there, by the way. I thought that was just going
to
be like a few
months. Also, I was talking to some brother about this recently. I was like, oh, is Braithwaite still there? He was like, yeah, he's still there. Not only is he still there, they've given him the number 9 shirt, I think it is. Or... what? He's like,
that tells
I thought
you everything
he
needs to know about what's going on in Barcelona.
Yeah.
No disrespect to, I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but no one saw that coming, right? No one saw it coming.
No. Oh, is look, he a lovely guy?
The final bit on this is, yeah, he is a lovely guy. He's brilliant. But there's a bit which, when he went to Barcelona, I was trying to find the footage to see if it actually recorded, and I hadn't. It was just me and him chatting. He was talking about the law of attraction and how you got to believe in yourself and put it out there. And he actually said to me, I genuinely believe I will play for Real Madrid or Barcelona. He said, why not? And at the time, I must admit, I was like, okay, mate. That's not awesome. Going
to
happen.
He did. We need to get company and Martin Braithwaite together. Imagine the car company they could think up together.
You left the job with Vincent, which allowed you to focus more on your YouTube videos, in particular your FIFA series, and the rest, as they say, is history. A lot of people listening will be very familiar with these, but yeah. It all started with a character you and Copper 90 made called the FIFA Player, where you would play YouTubers and celebrities all undercover. It was a big success. Is the FIFA Player ever going to come back?
Actually, so we live stream our hashtag games, and on Monday night, at the end of the match, I did a little impromptu FIFA Player rap. Because the chat were asking for it. But again, much like stand-up, FIFA Player was probably one of the best things I've ever done. It was so fun. And something about wearing a mask, like, you get so much freedom and you don't I think there's a famous quote about it. I can't remember who said it, might have been Sigmund Freud or something. It was something, I'm gonna absolutely get it wrong, but it was something like how if you wear a mask you can do whatever you want.
It's like a Batman quote, isn't it?
Maybe.
I mean, it might be Sigmund Freud, Batman.
Yeah, it could have been. Person, you don't know really. What have you been up to during lockdown, Spencer, if you can do anything you want with a mask? Have you been has this kind of encouraged some dodgy behavior?
No, not from my house.
Sure, really. Yeah,
no, there's a lot of reminders of FIFA Player everywhere I go at the moment. No, it was. If you should look back at it, man, it's crazy. Like the actual character. I mean, I must have done an all right job, because a lot of people I met during it, it was obviously an act, right? But a lot of people didn't get it, and they thought I was that man.
Sure.
And so, like, there's YouTubers that I met, for example, years later as myself.
Yep.
And there's guys that turned us down, and I'd be like, "Why did you turn us down back then? Why did you never do it with us?" And they were like, "We were scared of you. We thought you were going to come and bully us and take the mick out of us and all that." And I'm like, you know, I'm just a normal guy. And they were like, now we get it. But they were just worried. And I was like, who can think this is a real man? If you've seen any of it, you know, like, it's the most ludicrous man you've ever seen.
Who gets scared of that ludicrous man?
Exactly. Yeah. And the joke was always on me. The joke was always on FIFA Player being an idiot who thought he was better than he was.
Imagine when I called you today, if you'd have turned up wearing that snood and being undercover as a...
That was genuinely what we were fearing before you got on this call. Yeah. We thought you were going to start insulting us.
And I mean, thinking about it, like, all those things have opened up so many incredible opportunities for you as well. Like, some of the things you've done for FIFA are incredible. Like, you were on the tutorials, FIFA 16, you talk about. You've played against all these teams and stuff. I mean, you played in the Invitational recently with the BBC covered.
Yeah.
When you
lost to Ryan Sessions.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up, but
I smashed him though. I smashed him. If you watch the match, bro, I absolutely smashed him. I'm not happy about that still.
Really?
Yeah. Poor from me. I should have won the game. He was lovely about it, though, to be fair to him. He knew. He tweeted me afterwards and said, I didn't deserve to win that. So I took that seriously.
I can see you're still a little bit hurt by it. I can see.
Yeah,
because I was made the pre-tournament favourite. The Sky Sports, and you could bet on it. And I was made the bookies favourite and I lost the first round.
To Sess. Is he a good FIFA player? Right?
He's decent. Yeah. He went quite far in it, I think. Okay. But I think Diego Jota won it when he was still at Wolves. Mm. And he looks very good. I think he would have beaten me. The the bookies made me out to be better than I was. They thought I was better because I work in FIFA.
Sure.
Like Zed stuff. They made me like I was this unbelievable player. I was like, these footballers play more than I do, trust me.
Yeah.
I don't play as much. People think I play like all, every day. I almost never play anymore.
Really? How often would you say you play a game of FIFA?
At the moment, well, I say I never play it. I stream on Twitch and stuff, so that's what I play, and the new game's out, so I am playing it at the moment. Mm. But you know, in the summer, I hadn't touched FIFA in 4 or 5 months.
Really?
I touched the game.
It's like lockdown, you know? Like all these athletes are out of practice. You know, it takes a while to get back up after...
That's true. And I guess you're probably not just playing casual games either. If you're doing it, you're doing it for streaming, aren't you, I'm assuming? It's not quite the same playing, I don't know, your mate down the road as it is when you've played Gareth Bale or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love... competition, so I love playing anyone. Like, okay. I just like playing FIFA, so it wouldn't make a difference who I was playing. But it's more just like a time thing. It's just like, you know, nowadays I do a lot on Twitch. I don't do much gaming content myself anymore. I kind of transitioned to more mainstream football now.
Yep.
But when I was, it was every game I played was for a series of some kind, you know, like one of these pun-based series, The Wheel of Fortune or Crooked Variety Kid.
Yeah.
Ironically, at the moment, right now, I am in actually for the first time in years a spate of slight addiction to FIFA again.
Okay,
where I played career mode until 4 a.m. last night.
Oh no,
I still love career mode.
But you were doing it for streaming reasons, right? Playing
last night. Oh. I was playing at home. Oh. No streaming.
Oh jeez.
I know, it's unheard of. I haven't done that in years. But the new game's out, and I'm trying to take a little bit more downtime.
Okay.
And the irony is, in lockdown or whatnot, you can't go and see your mates and go for a drink or whatever I'd like to go and do.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting and playing FIFA, stuff I haven't been doing for years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it while it lasts because I've got a baby on the way in 2 months. So I think FIFA's going to be hard to come by.
Of course. Yeah, get it out of your system. Do you think, obviously, hashtag about an esports team as well. And like I mentioned, the BBC showed the esports invitational. What do you think the future is for esports? Do you think the BBC, for example, that must have been a pretty big step. Will there be like an esports match of the day or something coming, do you think, some point?
Well, yeah, I don't know what format it will take in terms of content, in terms of like the production level of it. But it's definitely getting that way, man. Like, so our hashtag player won the EPL in the summer. So he represented Watford. And he won the E-Premier League. That's quite a big event. You know, he won 30 grand for that. That's actually quite a small prize pot compared to some of the others.
Yeah.
The E-World Cup winner gets 250k. And in general, that's very small for esports. And for other games, Fortnite, you're talking 10 million. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that is mad.
So there's no doubt esports is here to stay, 100%. For FIFA and for football particularly, I think it's different because a lot of games... Well, the most popular esports, they're like an entity unto themselves. You know, like you can't play real life COD. Mm-hmm. The closest you can do is go paintballing or whatever. You can't go and fight. And I'm going to show my ignorance of other games here, but League of Legends is a massive one, which is like loads of people sort of fighting in the woods with swords. Like, you can't do that in real life.
So not during lockdown, at least.
Yeah. I mean, you can do whatever these guys do. You know,
LARPing.
You can do LARPing. Yeah. But you can't do the real version. Whereas football is a real thing. And I don't care what anyone says, even me who runs and owns a club, playing football is the most fun you can have in the football, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love watching football. I love talking about football. I love watching my team play. But nothing beats me playing football. And I'm aware that's a finite thing I can do. So I like to do it as much as I can now. So FIFA is in competition with actual football.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Mm. Even though it will never say that, and even though no one wants it to be, because I think it's an extension of football, it will always be in competition with the real thing. So that's where it's going to be interesting. And I think the more it can mimic real football, the better. So, for example, FIFA right now is a 1v1 or sometimes a 2v2 format.
Mm-hmm.
But real football is obviously 11v11. And the best esports are like a team sports, you know, Call of Duty, 5v5 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a mode called Pro Clubs. And I think that should be the future of FIFA esports, where us four might be a team.
Yeah.
One of you might be playing striker. Yeah, if you want, I'll play. I love playing FIFA if I can. I'll play.
Don't want me in your team. You don't want me in your team.
And then one of you will be a striker, one will be a centre mid, one will be a centre back, whatever. But from a broadcast perspective, you imagine watching that.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much more fun to watch a group of people in a shirt. Everyone knows who the goal scorer is, the centre.
It's so much more similar
to football.
Yeah, sure.
And whereas right now, you're watching one guy and you've got to relate to that one 18-year-old kid playing
as 11 people, which is you're right.
Yeah. You can do 11v11, you can do 3v3, you can do whatever you want. And there is competitive events of it. It's a bit more hard to organise, But ultimately, there's a game mode in FIFA called Ultimate Team, which is the prize asset of EA. It
yes.
makes a lot of money for them. So they're pushing everything in that direction at the moment, which isn't 11v11. So the bit that still needs to be worked out, I think, is where it's going to settle as an esport. But there's no doubt it's here to stay. There's no doubt that it's not for everyone. And I know that I don't believe there is a substitute for real life playing and running around and actually doing that. But it's a really good thing to do when you can't do that, I think.
So let's talk about something that was relatively in its infancy in the book. After your FIFA YouTubing had taken off, you started your own football team proper. And they started off just on YouTube, but they've grown and grown. And now, since writing the book, they've taken a huge, huge step and joined the football pyramid proper. I'm, of course, talking about Hashtag United. You've mentioned a lot.
What do you all think of the name, by the way? Give me your honest.
This is what I was going to ask. This is what I was going to say. I've got this.
It doesn't.
I
be honest, James. Come on.
I hate it.
Stop pussyfooting around.
I think you need to rebrand. Okay. So one thing.
Have you considered? I don't think you know much about branding. United.
Yeah. No. Hashtag you know what, United.
I really like that bit in the book when you're talking about how it polarizes people and it takes you back to sort of like you were saying specifically with the older generation, they're not as accepting. And do you think it's just a time thing? You know, like you still get the old school footballers who are like, oh, he's wearing white boots. What the hell? Like everyone's got to wear black boots. It's sort of like,
yes,
time moves on, things come into it. And now people are more accepting of different color boots. But do you think it's like a similar thing? It just takes a bit of time to adjust to the new
way of doing
things.
We really got over that prejudice eventually.
Yeah, really.
That annoys me, the black boots thing. Who cares what color boots you're wearing?
Yeah, I agree. But you need something big to kind of change things. And I think maybe hashtag yeah. is something which, you know, it's very different to Blackburn Rovers, for example, isn't it? Yeah.
So. Well, 95% of football clubs we've all heard of are 100 years old. You know, like there's only a few outliers that are more recently made. So the names aren't new because why would they be? You know, unless they've rebranded or whatever. So it is a time thing in answer to your question, James. It is a time thing. So I think people need to, first of all, find out who we are. First time you find out who we are, you're like, what the hell is that? What is that name? That's the point, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the point. Because if we were called Brentwood Athletic, you would forget about us in a heartbeat.
Very true.
And you wouldn't know from jumping off the page, you wouldn't know there's anything special about this team whatsoever. The minute you see hashtag United, you go, what is that? I need to know more. Even if I'm going to take the piss out of them, I still want to know more.
Yeah.
And so that's what, and also it took me years to realise when you're creating a football team and you are, call it a brand, it is a brand. Like, you know, it's something that's got a lot of followers across the world and you're trying to create that brand stronger, i.e. more supporters. Your job is not to make everyone in the world like you. There is no football team that has successfully done that. In fact, most of the biggest teams, a lot more people don't like them than like them.
Yep.
That's how football works.
Yep.
Your job is to find your people. That's your job. And we have a very wide net of who those people can be because we are really appealing to anyone that is a modern day football fan. Mm-hmm. And by the way, all for the right reasons. We're not RB Leipzig, trying to get away with a dodgy name so we can brand something.
Yep.
We are like trying to boost women's football.
Yeah.
We're giving people jobs in the community. We've got 43 teams now, boys, girls, all age groups. Like, we are only doing good things. And the more people that come across us, the more people realise that. So we've got a name for them. We call them Collins, people that that don't like, and there's nothing against people called Colin. That's just as you might know him. People just don't know what we are. They're scared of it, I think.
I would call them Graham Soonerses. I think Graham Soonerses.
From the books that we've read so far. Now.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. But how do the other teams in your division? What do they think about it? Are they kind of, because it must benefit them. It brings a lot of attention to the league. But you know, also you've got a lot of clout as such. You've got, you know, you've got Azpilicueta as a backer, and also you've got all these followers online and stuff. Is there any jealousy? Is there any resentment at all, do you think?
Impossible to say. I'd say that everyone wants to beat us for sure.
Yep.
Like, so we always play the best version of every team, if that makes sense. In non-league, you've got to remember most of these guys have got other jobs and stuff that every time they're not booking a holiday that weekend. They're not, do you know what I mean? Because they want to play hashtag and they want to go on YouTube and they want to be able to score against us and go up to the camera and do that in a funny way.
Yeah, it's their cup final. It's like West Ham against Spurs.
We'll always have to deal with that, I think, for at least a few more divisions until teams just have a little bit more about them in terms of their motivation and their players that are just hitting every game like that.
Yep.
But in terms of the owners of teams, again, there's some people that don't get it and there's a lot of old school, old boys club
I can imagine
mentality in non-league.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I've had some really weird comments from other chairmen and stuff. Like, it's ridiculous. But a lot of them love us, to be honest, because at the end of the day, everyone gets their record attendance when we play them at their place, and they get that money.
Nice.
You know, we don't get that money. Wait, so, like, sure. We're doing great things for other teams as well.
And is that a lot of your fans sitting in, you know, say they live in Kettering or somewhere, they wouldn't normally come down to play in Essex, so they'll come down and watch the match there.
You get a lot of that, and you get loads of funny things where you, like, I said, let's say a team has got their under-12s as their mascots, so they're all in their team's kit, but they're all supporting us at the game.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah,
the team hate it because they're all going celebrating when we score, and I'm like...
Yeah,
that happens a lot. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a massive string to our bow, you know, that we're helping other teams, and I love that about us. Like,
yeah,
I have a
non-league
background. My dad's been a physio in non-league,
yep,
all through my life, and I've always wanted to get into non-league. Like, you know, my first football videos on YouTube were me filming a club called East Thurrock that my dad was the physio for, and the guy who's the manager of Hashtag now was the assistant manager for. And I think some people get the wrong idea and think it's like the weirdest thing we get is like people thinking we're this money club. I'm like, what money do you think there is in non-league?
Yeah, that doesn't exist. Yeah.
And then also that we're buying the league. Like, we pay the least money in the league as a football club.
Okay.
Like, we know roughly what other teams are getting because there's players that play for these teams that want to come to us that then find out how much we pay and they go, I'll stay where I am because they're getting triple that where they are.
Yeah.
Or quadruple that in some cases. We could pay the most in the league. We're still at a low enough level where we could.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of employees to worry about. I have a lot of other things that I have to spend that these teams don't have.
Sure, sure.
Employees, premises, esports people, camera, equipment, all this stuff. So I choose to spend it on the stuff that makes us more sustainable.
Yes, sure.
Rather than some players who might leave in a few weeks and no guarantee of promotion regardless. When our season got null and void last year.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's gutting to be honest. But when we were in line to go up, the other two teams that were chasing to go up with us, one of them had treble or maybe quadruple our wage budget.
Yep.
We all lost our money that year, but they lost four times as much as me. Neither of us went up.
Of course, yeah.
True.
So we're doing a great job across the board, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. People that really know us do figure that out, and we get a lot of nice comments about it. But yeah, there's always going to be incorrect information going around. You just have to live with that.
That makes sense. But do you think there's been some... Hashtag United have been legitimised a bit with the FA Cup run. Do you think that's helped, you know, bring them to the national attention a little bit more, and people accept, you know, if there is any accepting to be done, they're accepting them a little bit more?
I think it turned a few heads. I think there's a few people that maybe knew about our start and hadn't seen us for a bit and thought we were just doing our own thing and didn't realise we're actually in non-league,
yeah,
and we can play in the FA Cup. I think we most importantly did ourselves justice when we were on the BBC. Like, we won the game, but we also played well.
Yep.
And I think that was important. We arguably could have won the next round when we played a team three levels above us. We lost on penalties, Braintree, who are a National League team. So we just, that was such a good thing for us. We had very small expectations for the FA Cup this year. We didn't even think we were going to be in it at first because we thought they were going to start it at later rounds because of COVID. So it was a really good thing for the club. And what's amazing about this team, because of the name, basically, and the reputation we have, when something like that happens, like, in the nicest way possible, we weren't on the BBC because we were playing Hometown Rangers. Like, we were on the BBC because we were called Hashtag United.
Yes.
And we had this crazy story. So when we do something of merit, we get loads of attention.
Yep.
Which is great. And we've earned that. So it's my job to make sure we keep doing really cool things. And if that's on the pitch or off the pitch, we know we'll get the attention we deserve when we do it. We just got to keep doing it.
And what are your plans for the future? Have you got any ideas for where you want to take this? Because you've built up 43 different teams, as you mentioned. You've got a women's team now. UK came in when Basildon?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, FC Basildon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we merged with them and we merged with a local youth team called Forest Glade, which is from the Billericay area.
Yeah.
And they've become part of our club now. So that's great. That's a really big thing for me. And, you know, men's football is obviously still very, very dominant and it's what we've always been from day one. So that'll probably always be the kind of shining light. But equally, our women play five levels higher than our men. They play in the fourth tier of English football. They're in the same league as Ipswich, Norwich.
Yes.
Cambridge United.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
MK Don, AFC Wimbledon.
Established teams. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big, big names. And we want to see how we can improve the women's side as well. We've just got Siobhan Chamberlain, the ex-England goalkeeper, is now an ambassador for us. She's on our board.
Oh, great.
So she's helping us with women's football. So we're trying to do that as much as possible. We definitely want to climb the leagues on the men's side. I think we're just not at the right level for us. It's just a fact. Nothing against the other teams in our league, but we've lost three games in two seasons now.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not our level. I think the long-term plan will be to get a few levels higher and then see, right, if we want to actually kick on now and go international league and then look about league football and all these crazy levels, obviously a lot of costs comes with that.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Salford City had so much money between the class of 92 and they still got Peter Lim involved, you know, who owns Valencia,
yeah,
to put in the real money. Like Gary Neville and all those guys needed outside help to get to League Two. So I'm not them.
No.
Sure.
So I think if we get to the point where we're knocking on the door of the National League, which I think we will in the next sort of 4 or 5 years, then I think we would look to bring some other people in.
Okay.
You know, some more Aspinaquitters or whoever they might be to see where we can take this club. But my job is really forgetting all that. Sustainability, how can we grow it, make a place in the community. We haven't got a place in our name, but people now know we are based in a place, which is Essex.
Yep.
Where everyone associated with the club was born and raised. And just seeing how just making sure we're around for a long time, basically.
And your playing days over, would you say?
Well, not over. I still play for our Sunday team.
Sure,
Sunday team.
Sure.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, okay. in terms of the first team,
no,
longer.
Shame, big shame. But you've had.
It's just not worth it. If you understand how much I want us to win,
yeah, sure.
Why would I throw this thing in there that makes our chances of winning so much lower? It makes no sense.
But this is the cool thing. You've got a lot of the books we read are professional footballers, and some of them haven't played with the players you've played with. Like you can. You know, thanks to your YouTube presence and playing in the Wembley Cup with other YouTubers, you're a non-professional footballer who's played with JJ Okocha, or played against JJ Okocha. You played with, William Gallas.
Jamie Carragher,
Gerrard, all these kind of people that played with you or against you. I mean, it's incredible, right? Who's the best player you've played with, would you say?
If your ability was defined by the players you played with, I'd be world class.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Unfortunately, it isn't.
No.
And
best football player, manager figured out when you went to Watford that time.
Yeah. I told him going in, I was like, guys, yeah. I just warning yeah. you sure you went to Watford?
I know I've played with these guys, but yeah.
Yeah. Best player I've played with is really, or against, there's a couple that I've done multiple games with, so I've seen even more of them, like Robert Perez, I've played with twice and against once.
Yep.
And every single time, he's just been a joke.
Okay.
Like,
terrible.
You know, he's in his 40s, but yeah. He's been so good.
Really?
And so effortless in what he does. JJ Okocha was like surreal because he was playing in this game and he was pulling out all the trademark skills. He actually, there's a photo of me where I'm smiling, I'm on the floor because I think I've slide tackled JJ Okocha. And in my head, I'm telling you, I'm thinking, I've just slide tackled JJ Okocha in front of 30,000 people. Like, I'm so good. And the crowd's laughing. And I don't know why they're laughing. And I realise, as I went to slide him, he nutmegged me. And he's running away with the ball. And I think I'm on the floor. I think I've got the ball.
Oh, God.
Like, that is what we're dealing with here.
Wow.
So, I mean,
yeah.
And Stephen Gerrard, we played against Stephen Gerrard twice. And both times, he was just like exactly what you'd imagine him to be. Like, off the pitch, lovely. But on the pitch, just an absolute competitor. Just like not letting you get anywhere near him.
Sure.
And just a hero, so he was very tough to play against.
Great. Well, the book, as you said before, Game Changer is a really, really good read, and it filled me in a hell of a lot. Spencer's showing us the book.
That's the other thing about this book. It makes a great doorstop, as I've learned over the years.
That's the only reason why we buy football autobiographies in general. We've got so many of them around the house.
We've got so many doors.
I haven't closed a door in a year. thank you so much for coming up. Before you go, Spencer, can we play a quick game with you?
Of course.
It is called Real Game, Fake Game. So, every week or whenever we get guests on the show, we play a game called Real Book, Fake Book with ex-pros where they have to guess what's the name of a real footballer's autobiography, which is one we've made up. But, Spencer, to spice it up a little, you have to tell us what's a real football game and what's one we've just made up.
Okay.
Just say real or fake. Then we go.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, Steven Gerrard's Total Soccer 2002. Oh.
Fake.
Oh, it's real. It's real.
Oh,
Spencer.
Is it? I thought it'd be too early.
Game Boy Color game. Bad start, Spencer. Number two, Chris Kamara's Street Soccer.
Gotta be fake.
It's real.
No, Chris Kamara Street Soccer.
Apparently, I was reading about it. It's got nothing to do with Chris Kamara, but after a Sheffield United fan made the game, but he chose Chris Kamara's name to endorse it. So,
like, Chris Kamara is not like a street footballer. He's not putting out like skill.
It's on PlayStation 1. Let's stream it on Twitch.
I really want to do that.
Number three, Stephen Naismith, Ultimate Striker.
That obviously has to be fake. Yeah. I can't have another one wrong.
You are correct. That is fake. Very sadly. David O'Leary, manager, 2000.
That's his era, isn't it? That's the Leeds era. I'm going to say, for that reason, I'm going to say true.
It is true. Game Boy Color. Some good weird games on the Game Boy Color.
That is a waste of the Game Boy Color right there.
Yeah,
that really let's make sure we colorize David O'Leary manager.
Number five, Leighton Baines Free Kick Wizard 3D.
So many words. Gotta be fake.
It is fake, it is the correct answer. Stuart McCall of Duty.
I like it. Gotta be fake.
Is correct.
It'd be good though, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be good?
Just all running around with like mops of blonde hair.
Trying to manage Bradford while being shot at.
Yeah. Number seven, Football Manager. It's a Football Manager, but with Faisal Mangedog Manji.
I want that to exist.
Okay.
And I would play it, but unfortunately, it's still in development.
Yeah, okay, cool.
You can always ask them, yeah. To...
Yeah, yeah.
I think get the Watford scouts over to to rate everyone's ability.
Go Beckham Adventure on Soccer Island.
These are getting more and more ridiculous, but that makes me think that might actually be real. Go Beckham Adventure on Soccer... No, I'm saying no.
It's real. It's real. I'm afraid it was another Game Boy game. You played as Beckham and you had to jump around stuff, apparently. Number nine, Fash Bandicoot. John Fashanu jumping on crates.
Very good concept again, but it's a no for me, Clive.
It's true. It is fake, you're right. And finally, Grand Theft Porto.
Does that involve Jose Mourinho by any chance?
It does, yeah. 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 You play as him, yeah.
Yeah,
him and Benny
it.
McCarthy.
That would be an amazing game.
Yeah. Oh. But I think you'll figure this one out.
Half of these were pictures, so...
Yeah.
The better the title, the more chance of it being fake.
You got nine out of... No, you got six out of nine, Spencer. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Take it, yeah, that's all right.
That's promotion, isn't it?
Yeah. Congratulations, Spencer. Brilliant.
Can I get a reward from the chairman?
Yeah.
Yes. Your reward is you get to come back next week. Spencer, thank you so much for coming on. We've loved having you here. It's been really, really great. You had a good time?
It's been great, guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Really, really appreciate you coming on. If you want to read more about Spencer, we thoroughly recommend Game Changer. Really, really good book. It's on Kindle. It's on paperbacks and hardback. Find it anywhere. If anyone has any thoughts on the book or any of your questions for us, follow us and message us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Football Book Club on Instagram or on Facebook. Please read the podcast, subscribe. Any last words, anyone?
All right, mate, how you doing? I've always wanted to say that.
There we go.
Is that good? Shall I try it again? Can I try it again?
Go for it. Usually people do a poor Mockney accent when they're taking the mic out or they're trying to be...
I'm not
all right, mate. All right, mate, how you doing?
All right, mate. You do
no perfect that's it. That's it. That's
no,
it.
No, that's not it. That's like not it. That was Spencer. That wasn't me.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, James Baldwin, and Spencer Owen. It was produced and created by James Bug. Thanks to Spencer for writing the book. But what are they all up to now? Well, Spencer currently has 2 million YouTube subscribers, oversees 43 hashtag United teams, and soon is going to be launching his very first clothing line made exclusively of wolf jumpers. Vincent Company, still an entrepreneur, his latest business being a cloning company called Two's Company. Hatfield Peverell still stinks of milk. And Marlon Harewood, give us a message if you want a used copy of FIFA 12. We'll see you next time for more Football Book Club. Please review and subscribe. In the meantime, bye-bye.